May peace be with you. If you stick around at the end, there's more information about our community and how to find us. And now, here's this week's Centering Scripture, followed by the sermon.
So the scripture reading this morning is from Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be wholly whole unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sunday, so I don't want to, you know, go too long. But you do know what it means when the preacher puts their watch on the pulpit, right? Absolutely nothing. So we're going to start today, before we get to the Easter story, the lead up. Jesus is a wandering preacher and healer in mostly kind of the sticks of Israel and Judea, you know, the countryside. When they say the Nazarene or the Nazarite, that's kind of saying Hickville. But he has a bit of a following out in those sticks around Galilee, but he's come to Jerusalem and has made a bit of a splash. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, he's been bothering both the religious and the civil authorities since he launched his ministry in his hometown. Remember what he did when he launched his ministry in his hometown, how the town reacted? They're like, "Yay, hometown boy makes..." No, they tried to throw him off a cliff. But somehow, he made it through the crowd and made it this far. And his disciples are not thrilled that Jesus has made his way to Jerusalem. Because it's one thing to bother the authorities in Nazareth, right? It's like, you know, upsetting the mayor of Minnetonka. I mean, it'll probably be okay. But when you move up a little higher, it gets a little scarier. And in Jerusalem, it is scary because, you know, the Romans are known for their mercy and understanding. And Jesus often doesn't seem to want attention. Like, he sometimes go off and try to be alone, you know, get away from the crowds. But he's also never able to maintain a low profile. And he even comes into town like a wannabe ruler, right? Last week we talked about it. He comes into the town on the back of a donkey or a colt and makes a ruckus in the seat of religious authority, the temple, by flipping over tables and indicting those who seek to make the temple a profit center instead of a house of worship. Jesus was deliberately prodding those in power and not heeding some advice that is attributed to Oscar Wilde, which is, if you want to tell people the truth, you had better make them laugh. Otherwise, they will kill you. And that's exactly what they did. The local authorities colluded with the Roman Empire to have Jesus killed. And you know what? It worked. Surprise. The powerful got their way. We're all shocked. It's a common enough story, right? This is not a unique story in history. A truth teller elicits fear in those that have the most to lose, so those who have the most to lose eliminate the threat. And that's how we get to the story from Mark. The threat has been eliminated. The powerful are probably relieved. So Jesus is in the tomb, and some of Jesus' followers, perhaps even relatives, women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And they find the stone rolled away. That's kind of freaky enough, right? But they go into the tomb, and they see a youth in white robes seated in there. Just like one expects. And this youth says what nearly every encounter with God or God's representatives of Scripture say to the people that they encounter: don't freak out. Right? That's what they say. Do not be afraid. Don't freak out. And saying to people, don't freak out, also is a very effective way of keeping them from freaking out, right? You know, when your kid comes to you and says, don't freak out. Don't start that way. By the point that is said, it's kind of already too late. The freak out has begun, and he tells them something also freaky and unbelievable. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. The women then looked at each other and said, awesome, and high-fived. No, they fled. And they told no one because they were afraid. And no wonder, you know, they were afraid. When we tell people things that feel unbelievable or culture doesn't want to hear, often people are not kind. You want on this trans day of recognition, also Easter, when people tell the world or their families the truth about who they are, that is often not well received. We tend to think of people, the people of ages gone by, like, you know, back 2,000 years ago, as more credulous than us, you know, less sophisticated. We think of ourselves as more likely to see through nonsense, because we are so much wiser in our atomic age. I mean, we'd never do something like elect an inveterate liar to office. I mean, we're too smart for that kind of thing, aren't we, people? You see, but you know, while their religion might have held out hope of resurrection, they were no more likely to believe that it would happen to Jesus than we are now. I mean, I can affirm a spiritual truth that I'm never likely to encounter, right? what happens if you actually encounter it? They were not likely to believe it would happen. And if they knew, if they went back blabbing about the youth that they saw who said Jesus had risen, they knew what to expect. Do you think they would be believed? In Luke, we have some more explanation of this story, and the women do go back and tell the disciples, those wise followers of Jesus, and the disciples, of course, are eager to hear the good news. No, it seemed to the disciples an idle tale. And Luke, they're not believed. These women knew what to expect, and they kept quiet. They knew what to expect. And I got to thinking a little bit about expectations. Because I'm a transitional pastor, a bridge pastor, I often go into churches and there are employees and personnel policies, and sometimes things need a little bit of attention, and so I have to put in like a evaluation process for employees. And one of the processes that some churches have chosen to use is one where people, you know, do not meet expectations, meet expectations, exceed expectations. Any of you seen this? Oh yeah, I see people nodding. But there is not a category for defies expectations. And that, I'm afraid, is where we are with Jesus today. They knew what to expect. He doesn't fall short of expectations or meet them or exceeds them. He decides them, and he defies them, and we don't know what to make of that. Well, we do know what to make of it. We know to make light of it. This whole reality that Jesus initiates is kind of beyond mind-blowing. Kind of embarrassing. It's beyond what we know, what we can believe. We're too smart for it. I think if I had experienced something like that, I would keep mum too. I mean, a lot of people have had experiences they know to keep to themselves. Why do you think so many trans people never transition? They know. But I'm up here on a Sunday morning in front of all of you, and I'm supposed to talk about it. And I'm afraid. Am I going to offend someone? Am I not going to be sophisticated enough or thoughtful enough? This professional religious person? Am I not going to help people feel what they want to feel today, to hurt someone's faith or someone's atheism? Am I not going to meet expectations? And I feel convicted by that, you know, that I have this kind of anxiety on a day like today. Something came to mind. There's a poem called Seven Stanzas at Easter by John Updike, and there's a couple stanzas from that where he writes, "Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping, transcendence, making of the event, Easter, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. Let us not seek to make it less monstrance for our own convenience, for our own sense of beauty, lest, awakened in one unthinkable hour, we are embarrassed by the miracle and crushed by remonstrance." So those women's expectations were defied. And so are ours. But what does it mean? It means all sorts of things. think one thing it is meant to mean is courage and freedom. What's the worst thing that can happen? I'm not sure exactly, but Jesus seems to be kind of close. The whole cross thing, pretty bad. And God's response to living in that honest and powerful and truth-telling way, God's response is not silence. It's not buck up either. It's resurrection. New life. I think this can maybe give us courage to speak truth even in our own age. Because it is hard to defy expectations, to not fit in to the way people understand the world. But there's good news. What's the worst that can happen? What's God's response? Life, anyways. So do that which scares you. Perhaps tell a truth that others may not want to hear. I mean, maybe follow Oscar Wilde's advice, you know, make people laugh so they don't kill you. But speak just the same. Because this resurrection makes a kind of justice and mercy possible that without it, it is not. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
As a church located on Lakota land in Minnetonka, Minnesota, St. Luke is a joyful, inclusive, intergenerational, and compassionate community on a spiritual journey seeking to do justice, make peace, and to walk humbly with God. We invite you to join us live for virtual worship each Sunday morning on Facebook or YouTube, or by following the worship links on our website, stluke.mn. Thanks for listening. May you go in peace.